From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the governor's explanation of some of the circumstances of a U.S. attorney's probe into his administration has left some unanswered questions. Political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on that probe and the sentencing of Sheldon Silver. And two New York politicians announce they're leaving politics. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Governor Cuomo's explanation of some of the circumstances of a U.S. attorney's probe into his administration has left some unanswered questions. We get more from the Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt.
Governor Cuomo offered a brief explanation of his former aide's involvement in a scandal now encompassing his administration, saying the actions of Joe Prococo were perfectly legitimate. The governor says he knew that when Prococo left his $156,000-a-year state job to manage Cuomo's 2014 reelection campaign, that Prococo would also work for private clients. But he says that's about all he knew about the situation.
Joe left state service and went into the private sector. He consulted for my campaign. I knew he might be accepting consulting arrangements with other companies. But beyond that, no.
What Cuomo says he did not know was reported by Prococo in financial disclosure forms with the State Ethics Commission in mid-2015. Prococo said he received up to $125,000 for consulting work from two companies, Clough Harbor Associates and Core Development. Both are heavily involved in Cuomo's economic development projects, including the Buffalo Billion. But Cuomo says it's legal for someone to do that.
Can you leave state service and then represent companies that deal with the state? Yes, you can. You can't appear on their behalf before the state. There's a ban, 2-year ban, where you can't appear before the state for that company, but you can represent that company.
It's unknown exactly what kind of consultation that Prococo provided and whether it did involve representing the clients before state government. Prococo's lawyer is not responding. The man that Andrew Cuomo once described as his father's third son returned to the Cuomo administration in December 2014. He was eventually paid over $175,000 a year. He left in January of 2016. Cuomo said at the time that Prococo had said he needed to make more money. Reform advocates say perhaps the governor and his former top aide have discovered what they call a sweet spot, a loophole in the state's lobbying laws. Blair Horner is with the New York Public Interest Research Group.
What we know and what has been reported could mean that there's a gaping hole in New York's ethics laws, where you can leave government, work for a campaign, and be allowed to have outside clients. And as long as you're not representing them before the government, it could, depending how it happened, be perfectly legal, and then go back into government. Now, the question then, there's lots of questions that come out of that, of course, in terms of what was he doing for the money with those companies, and did he bring their perspective to the governor when he went back on staff?
Horner questions why Governor Cuomo was not more curious about Prococo's other clients during the time Prococo managed the governor's reelection campaign. It was, after all, during the same time period that the U.S. attorney, who's now investigating the scandal, was probing the premature closure of Cuomo's Moreland Act ethics panel.
If someone's going to run my campaign and also is going to have private clients, I would ask them who those clients were and expect that they would be removed from any policymaking decisions that affect those clients. that's the appropriate way to deal with it.
Horner says at the very least, Prococo should have asked for an opinion from the state's Joint Commission on Public Ethics. It's not known if Prococo did so. Those opinions are kept secret. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. You just don't know what's going to happen in politics in New York. Alan, of course, over the weekend, greeted to the news that Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney investigating aides close to Governor Cuomo, specifically Joe Prococo, a longtime aide, has to do with consulting and money received. And this, as lawmakers came to Albany this week, we see the sentencing of former New York State Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver for corruption, 12 years, more sentencing coming for Dean Skelos, and the legislature looking at how to expand Uber in New York State.
That's very funny, David. You point out something a lot of people have. People are screaming for ethics reform in the legislature. The sentencing of Sheldon Silver, the sentencing of Dean Skelos, with the judges obviously not going to ignore the fact that we're in a corruption crisis. They're throwing the book at these guys. And it's just a time for potential revolution. Still, the legislature sits on its haunches. And like Ferdinand the Bull, they're just there smelling the flowers. They say, we are not going to cut into our income by prescribing how much you can make on the outside, even though everybody knows the whole thing is a disgrace. Lobbyists who are connected with Sheldon Silver and were doing extremely well are now on a slide, like the slides in the park, going down real fast because you hire lobbyists who are connected to the people who you want to influence. And that is something that is quite evident. Well, anyway, there they sit. They're smelling the flowers. They're not going to do a thing. They're like two-year-olds. They're stomping their feet. Now, David, I've been thinking about this lately. If I'm Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, if I'm a reformer in the New York State Legislature trying to clean things up, and I'm ambitious, this is a time. If I'm a young legislator and, you know, I want a revolution, I want to coalesce, I want to say, hey, come on, our constituents, 97% of them in a recent poll think Albany is corrupt. So I'll get out front on this thing and I'll run for speaker. Who is the present speaker? Well, they got this guy who is the Bronx Democratic boss, Boss Hastie, and now he's the boss of the assembly. Again, Boss Hastie. He carries the water for these guys who don't want to make change. And, you know, as our wonderful Blair Horner has pointed out again and again, they have a lot of ways of playing these games. Oh, yeah, we'll do ethics reform. The Senate will do one bill. The Assembly will do a different bill. Oh, we didn't realize that they're not the same bill. So therefore, we get nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing. One of the oldest tricks in the book. Andrew Cuomo says he's all for ethics reform. Now he's under tremendous pressure because some of his aides are implicated in what's going on in Buffalo. Oh, and Buffalo, and while we're talking about Buffalo, let's just take a little side trip here. Why is Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney from the Southern District of New York, up there investigating the politicians and the givers in Buffalo? Because, and I love this one, I really love it, his lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, is married to the U.S. attorney from the Buffalo area. Oh, so he had to step aside. Piece of bad luck, perhaps, for Andrew Cuomo, don't know. But he has described his best friend and chief advisor and as the third Cuomo brother, perhaps the one that is most beloved, was most beloved by Mario. I doubt it. Nevertheless, it is interesting that Joseph Prococo, who has long been regarded as the enforcer for both Mario Cuomo and Andrew Cuomo, is now in big trouble. And a lot of people in the Capitol, David, are holding their breath, wondering who is going to give something up that will protect them from going to jail. And that is one of the reasons people are saying, oh, We wondered why Pete Bharara sort of gave up on the disbandment, the disgraceful disbandment of the Moreland Act Commission and concentrated on Buffalo. And now I think we know that there's some very specific issues about who was making money, who was a consultant. Now, in the case of Joseph Prococo, interesting, isn't it? He was on the state payroll as an executive assistant to Cuomo, so he couldn't take outside consulting money and other money. But he steps aside for a little while to run the Cuomo campaign. Is there any difference in what he could do in terms of influencing the governor? Of course not. But technically, it may well be that because he was off the state payroll and on the campaign payroll and took all of this consulting money, allegedly, that he was off the hook. Maybe. But, you know, one of the things we have learned over the years is that in the New York State Legislature, they pass laws that will help the people. Hell no. They pass laws that will protect them. And this is just one very good example of how influence peddling may, if these allegations turn out to be true, may be just another example. So there you are. It's a very fascinating time to be around Albany. And if I'm Andrew Cuomo right now, I am not happy.
Let's talk about some of the moving pieces and people. We've heard this week that Congressman Chris Gibson is exploring a run for New York governor. Has decided not only not to do that, but to leave politics altogether and enter academia.
Well, first of all, Williams College, where he's going to be going, pays well. It's not a tenured position. It's a position that could be abolished. But you're right. I'm a big Chris Gibson fan and have been for a long time. I know him personally. I know his wife. I think they're wonderful people. It looked like we finally had somebody who had the charisma to take on, you know, the Cuomo administration. Chris Gibson is a Republican, but he has been, you know, because he's in a divided district, he's been a very, very thoughtful fellow when it comes to issues that many other Republicans would run away from. So he's popular within his district. And now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're right. It's not only that he says, I'm not going to run for governor, which we all thought he was, and he was doing exploratory committees and doing what he needed to do, but I'm not going to do anything in politics anymore. That was a little bit strange. We'll have to see how this all develops. But it's a great shame because from what we all know, he was a terrific potential candidate for governor.
Some state politics. Hugh Farley, longtime serving senator, the 49th district, says he will be retiring to spend more time with his wife and family. And we know, because you've talked to him regularly for the Capital Connection program, that Assemblyman Jim Todisco, who is the Republican, former minority leader of the Assembly, has said he's interested in the seat, and Farley likes him.
Does a bear walk in the woods? I mean, Jim Todisco has been waiting for a long time for Hugh Farley, who's, I believe, 82 years old now, to step aside. Farley wants to keep it as a Republican district. I don't think there'll be any question if Todisco runs that he will probably be the next candidate. Wildly popular. A lot of people know him. We know him. I should mention, however, only because it's the right thing to do, that Hugh Farley for years was a member of the board of WAMC, the public radio station where we're talking right now. Hugh Farley has a son. It looked like he was sort of being groomed, but he did not excel in the political area. So it does look like Todisco, who has been a member of the Assembly Minority Republican, which is an endangered species if there ever was one, will have a chance to have some real power. However, the irony here is that it may well be that as soon as he gets here, that his house, the Senate, would turn from Republican to Democratic.
Well, let's continue with that because we heard officially this week that Todd Kaminsky, that's the Skelos seat, he's the Democrat, beat the Republican Chris McGrath.
He did. And one of the interesting things that prosecutors are looking at right now is whether or not laws were broken by Mayor de Blasio's associates trying to get enough money together that would be given to the political parties, because you can give just about anything you want to a political party, And then the political parties, wink, wink, would give the money directly to the people who are running for political office, which is highly regulated. You can only give a smaller, much smaller amount. So you give it to the party gives it out. And there's no question that the prosecutors are looking at this one, too. Kaminsky was a former federal prosecutor himself who won, and whose uncle, as we all know, is Mel Brooks, won, but only by about less than 800 votes. But he was the recipient of some of this money. I am sure that nobody's calling him names, but the fact is that people gave money to the party, and the party gave the money to Kaminsky and to several other candidates, all of whom lost. And this was de Blasio trying to bring the Senate Democrats back into power. Well, since de Blasio, the mayor of New York, lost that, and since he is always being pounded upon by the governor, Andrew Cuomo, he's got some problems that are being looked at. My feeling is that this stuff went on for years, but so did a lot of other things, like the stuff that Shelley Silver may have been doing. Business as usual is never an excuse when they catch you. You can't say, hey, they were all doing it. Yeah, well, you're caught.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Longtime New York State Senator Hugh Farley, a Republican from the 49th District in New York, announced this week he will retire to spend more time with his family after 20 terms. The Legislative Gazette's Lucas Willard gathered reaction from those already considering running to replace Farley.
Farley, who represents portions of Saratoga, Schenectady, Fulton, Herkimer, and Hamilton counties, will not seek a 21st term. Vice President pro tempore of the Senate, Farley is one of the top Republicans in state government. He was first elected to the Senate in 1976. Farley discussed his decision to end his long career in public service on Tuesday.
I'm very, very grateful for my staff and the constituency, but my wife has got some serious health issues, and family comes first, and I think it's my responsibility and desire to spend more time with her.
In his letter announcing his decision, Farley listed the accomplishments he's most proud of during his career, including numerous environmental and financial protections and regulations. The senator said he was proud of his role in creating the Schenectady Metroplex Development Authority, protecting the city's water supply, and the creation of a BOCES facility at Fulton Montgomery Community College. Farley also sponsored nearly every piece of legislation for libraries in the past four decades. With his seat up for grabs, Farley said he would support the Republican candidate in the race and specifically mentioned one local assemblyman familiar to many in the district.
I presume that Jim Tedesco will probably be interested in it.
Tedesco, first elected to the assembly in 1982, served as minority leader from 2005 to 2009. The Capital Region native, who represents portions of Schenectady and Saratoga counties, said he was flattered by Farley's endorsement.
Those are big shoes to fill, but that's something that kind of was a surprise that he left. It's something that I've got to think about.
Tedesco thanked Farley for his longtime support from the other legislative chamber.
If we could have cloned Senator Farley in the Senate and had all of him as the 63 representatives, I think this state wouldn't have many of the problems it's facing now.
Two other Republicans expressed their interest in Farley's seat last year, including Nancy Nugent and Christian Klug, both of Northville and Fulton County. Klug said he did not expect Farley's retirement and said he wished Farley and his wife well.
From day one last year, I said I was running because I love where I live, and we see the direction that New York State is going. You know, the corruption is out of control, and I believe it's time for a change in Albany.
Democratic candidate Chad Putman thanked Farley for his service, particularly for his support for hospice care programs. With the possibility of more candidates entering the race, Putman called the shakeup exciting times.
You know, we want to be mindful and respectful of his time in office, but also, you know, this is a time to really look forward and down the road for the 49th New York State Senate District.
Farley says serving his constituents was the biggest kick he got out of the job.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Lucas Willard.
In an unexpected announcement this week, retiring Congressman Chris Gibson said he will not run for New York governor in 2018. The one definitive plan he mentioned was having accepted a one-term teaching post at Williams College in Massachusetts. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn has more on Gibson's decision.
Republican Congressman Chris Gibson of the 19th District earlier this year announced he was setting up an exploratory committee concerning a 2018 run for governor. That announcement came after his decision not to seek a fourth congressional term, which would have been his last given his self-imposed term limit. On May 2nd, Gibson, a retired Army colonel who spent 29 years in the military, said in a written statement that he has accepted a position as a visiting lecturer at Williams College and wanted to spend more time with his family as his three teenagers are in their last years at home. Dr. Christopher Mann is assistant professor of government at Skidmore College.
The cynical view is that Chris Gibson realized it was too much of an uphill fight to unseat Governor Cuomo. However, as a father myself, I appreciate that Chris Gibson wanted to have more time with his kids before they leave home.
He says Gibson will have opportunities to re-enter politics if he so chooses, but not to be a dad, and that to end his campaign and teach makes a lot of sense. Gibson's announcement comes after months of increasingly sharp criticism of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Gibson of Kinderhook in Columbia County spoke in April on WAMC's Congressional Corner with Dr. Alan Shartok.
I'll tell you, Alan, he's counting on a 2-to-1 Democratic enrollment advantage in New York to bully us and to intimidate us and say, you have to take it. But you know what? We don't have to take it. We really don't. There's nearly 20 million people in this state. It's a good state of great people. I mean, if we want to change the direction of the state, we can.
Other Republicans seen as possible contenders include Westchester County Executive Rob Astorino, who lost to Governor Cuomo in 2014. Astorino was traveling overseas and unavailable for comment Tuesday. Another name is Buffalo businessman Carl Paladino, who lost to Cuomo in 2010. He, too, was unavailable for comment. Meanwhile, Cuomo has said he does plan to run for a third term. Justin Crow recruited Gibson for the February 2017 one-term visiting lecturer post at Williamstown-based Williams College. Crow is associate professor of political science and chair of the Leadership Studies Program.
Yeah, this actually came together pretty quickly. I reached out to his office, sometime probably in March or April. His office said that he was interested. He and I corresponded and spoke on the phone about it, and he was definitely gung-ho.
Crow talks about the course.
So he's going to be teaching one course for us in the spring of 2017, which will be on topics of leadership. I think he's going to call it transformational leadership. And we're really excited to have him. Between his service in the military and now in Congress, Chris obviously brings a unique, practical, hands-on perspective to the questions of leadership that are at the heart of our program in leadership studies. I know he loved his time teaching at West Point, and he's excited to get back into the classroom. And for our part, I just think that his accomplished background in public affairs will be a wonderful resource to our students and a terrific asset for our community.
And here's Skidmore's man about the Williams position.
With a PhD from Cornell and experience teaching at West Point, not to mention his military and political career, Congressman Gibson certainly has a lot to offer students. If I'd known he was looking for an academic job, I would have recruited him to teach at Skidmore.
Crow says the timing was right for approaching Gibson about teaching.
We have had for the past several years Jane Swift, who used to be the governor of Massachusetts, teach one course for us in the spring, and Jane was unable to do that next spring, and so I was given the go-ahead to find someone else, and so I reached out to Congressman Gibson, knowing that he had a PhD in government from Cornell and had previously expressed interest in potentially teaching a winter term course, a sort of short course that Williams has that students take pass-fail. I knew he had had interest in that in the past from conversations he'd had with one of my colleagues. And so I reached out to his office knowing that he wasn't running for Congress again in 2016, knowing that he'd be theoretically unemployed in the spring of 2017, and thought he lives nearby. He's someone who has a unique perspective, as I said, from both the military and Congress.
Gibson, who did not reply to a request for comment, says he will close his exploratory committee in the near term and refund the contributions he has received.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1619. Or just listen on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.